Well, let's continue our series looking at the 2023 first round of the American Association playoffs. And we get to invite one of our favorite guests back here, Sam Bree from the Chicago Dog. Sam, thanks for joining us again.
I'm honored to join. It's always a little bit exciting when we do the preseason preview, but postseason preview, 3 years in a row, that's like the real excitement. So here we go. I'm ready.
Well, Sam, let's start with, I guess, your chance to gloat a little bit here, because somebody on this show was kind of stupid and had you guys finishing in last. So this is your chance to give me a little ribbing here, I would gather.
Yeah, that was pretty dumb of you, wasn't it? I mean, you take a team that has won their division 2 years in a row, has the most experienced coaching staff, has done nothing but show you that they win ball games, 55-plus wins, and here we go. So the Dogs are one of the most balanced teams in the league, year in, year out, and you're going to doubt them? Come on.
Yeah, Rob, that was dumb.
That's like doing an NFL season preview and saying, oh, the Chiefs are going to finish last in the AFC. Like, well, what are we doing?
Well, let's talk about some keys there, Sam, because the club got off to a fast start and then struggled for a while. But, boy, the Dogs were super hot in August. What kind of do you see as some keys as this season went along for the club?
I feel like I've lived 18 lives since we last talked in May, because the Dogs went 14-4 to start the season. Then they lost 10 in a row. Since then, I've seen them win 9 in a row, go on another losing streak. I mean, it's been 18 lives, truly. However, at the end of the day, they have been a solid ball club, right? They finished the season with 56 wins, 44 losses. They have been good more than they have been bad. And really, the reason why we've seen this team so strong in August and September is because the roster is stronger. The late season acquisitions that Butch Hobson and his coaching staff made were super strong. I mean, you add a former major leaguer in Joe Wieland, who is now going to be their game one playoff starter down in Cleburne. You add another major leaguer out of the bullpen. Two major leaguers in the bullpen to shore up that back line. And DJ Smelton, a familiar face, and Jake Newberry, a new face. Stephen Lacy, 24-year-old out of Delta State University, who was signed just to be a sort of change of pace young guy. He's thrown two consecutive complete games, and if we are to play on Saturday night, Stephen Lacy will be the starter for the Dogs. So the pitching acquisitions they made down the stretch are what turned this team into a good team, or from a good team into a championship contender, and that is why the Chicago Dogs almost won this division.
You know, Sam, when we began the preseason preview, I know you love those great storylines heading into the year, and you talked about some of those. But as the season's gone along, what have been some storylines that have really stood out for you?
Well, the emergence of Josh Altman, it was a predictable storyline, but it's one that blossomed from, okay, this guy is an all-star who will be one of the Dogs' better players, into, okay, this guy could easily be MVP of the league and maybe is having the best single season in Dogs history, rivaling what Keon Barnum did in 2019. I mean, it was clear from day one that Josh Altman was that guy, right? He started every game with the exception of four at shortstop. He finishes the season as the league leader in RBI, just two back of the league lead in home runs, because Jose Cervo is absolutely insane. And he finishes by far as the league leader in extra base hits. So that storyline, really day one to day 100, not to mention the fact that he's local and that there's a Chicago tie-in development, that to me really was the day one to day 100 storyline of the team. And then it was this team's ability to keep adding and retooling and adjusting. I mean, we saw, Nick Heath get banged up for pretty much the entire month of August. So the Dogs go ahead and add Johnny Turbo, who is an independent and affiliated ball veteran at 34 years old, who's now one of the top center fielders in the league, and you'll probably see hitting leadoff for the duration of the playoff. I mentioned all those former big league arms and the young Stephen Lacy the Dogs added. So their ability to get a speed bump and adjust is what I really see as the Dogs' number one storyline, because how many teams have you seen go on a 10-game losing streak and then the season's in the trash can? Like, a lot. I've seen it a lot in every sport, at every level. But the Dogs were able to sustain a few of those tough losing stretches, adjust, and get even better. And now they are truly at their best entering the playoffs.
Do you feel what this ball club went through last year with the swoon in August and then getting it together to make the playoffs? Do you feel like that was a learning experience for them and that's something that they fell back onto this year to get them through the tough times?
No, because almost every single player is new. I mean, I think to make any comparison with last year, maybe some stuff applies to the coaching staff, but not really at all to the roster. I mean, with the exception of a Ryan Lidge and a Joe Cavallaro out of the bullpen, Brian Schlitter out of the bullpen, like, this team is new. No one who is in a Dogs uniform was on the Dogs last year, really. And a lot of them weren't even in this league last year. So, honestly, I don't think so at all.
You know, Sam, Kevin made a great point a few weeks ago that you guys clearly have the best named players. I mean, speedy guy at the top of your lineup named Turbo, General MacArthur, and that's just great stuff. You got to love calling those names every night.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. I think that the Dogs not only have the best name roster in the American Association, but at any level of baseball, show me a team with better names. General MacArthur the fourth, and the fact that he even wears number four is the best name in baseball. And then you have Johnny Turbo. It's like, it's ridiculous. This team is ridiculous. And there's no better position with these guys than to be the broadcaster.
I feel a name like Johnny Turbo that if he wasn't playing baseball, he would be like a DJ at a rock and roll station somewhere.
Yeah, well, you know, his birth name is actually Harvey Myers. And in 2021, he changed his name to Johnny Turbo, the early 1900s cartoon character. So the name is so good that it sounds made up, and it literally is made up. So there's the Johnny Turbo origin story.
That's really interesting. Interesting. You know, Sam, it seems like in the playoffs every year, some guy steps out of the shadows to become a big-time hero that maybe didn't have a particularly great season, or maybe it was a late addition or something. Who's the guy on this Chicago Dogs that you're going to go, I wouldn't be surprised if this guy really stepped up and had a big season for us?
I would say someone who I really could see getting hot right now is Luke Mangieri, the Dogs' first baseman, who we were impressed with at the top just for his defense, really solidifying the Dogs' defense at that first base position is what Luke did in May. And then in June, July, August, and September, we saw the bat. Almost hit 20 home runs. He was just under 300, 70-plus RBIs. He's truly one of the better sluggers now in the American Association. And he's the type of guy who has weak or 2 week long stretches, and we've seen a few of them, where he hits a home run every other night. And it's been a little while since we saw that from Luke, and he's sort of due for one of those every month. So I see Mangieri, who will certainly be an everyday starter coming into the playoffs, as the type of guy who maybe wasn't a headline for you week in and week out, such as a Josh Altman, but he might be that guy heading down the stretch of the postseason where you say, wow, like Mangieri really did the work for the Dogs.
How do you see this series playing out as far as the pitching goes? Do you see the Dogs maybe shortening up the starters' roles just so they can get into that deep and dominant bullpen, or do you feel like it's just going to play out the way the regular season did?
I think it'll be mostly the way the regular season was, with just a little bit of a shorter leash, right? Whereas the type of start where maybe Butch Hobson and Sue Clyburn would say, all right, after six, we'll take him out. Maybe now the leash is at five. But, I mean, tomorrow night you're going to have a Joe Wieland starting who has been nothing but dominant, who is a former major leaguer. Nick Green will go for game two. He has had some starts this season that are some of the best individual games we've seen out of a pitcher in the association this year. And Stephen Lacy has thrown nothing but complete games in the last 2 weeks. So, yes, the Dogs' bullpen is incredibly dominant, but this coaching staff, I think, will work with the philosophy of until you need to go to the bullpen, just keep them, right? It's like your best weapon in your back pocket. But if Joe Wieland is out there slicing and dicing in Cleburne, they're not taking him out. So I think the leash might be a little bit tighter, but the game plan is just what they've been rolling with for August and September.
Tim, Joe Wieland's first start in the American Association was against Cleburne, so he got to see what this Railroaders team was like, and you got to see how he matched up well against them, had a very dominating performance. In the way that you saw him pitch, did you feel he's just an ideal game one starter just because of the way he controlled them in his first start against them?
Yeah, and also because he's a veteran, and he has experience with important games. He has experience with uncomfortable situations, right? Finding out on Monday night that you're going to play this certain team and then getting on a plane and flying and starting later that night in 100-degree heat on a turf field in Texas. Like, these are all uncomfortable situations. So when all the variables are running around and things get uncomfortable, what I want is an older veteran pitcher who's got experience. And that's Joe Wieland. And you're right. He did match up very, very well against Cleburne in his first start, so that certainly factors into it in some way to go with Wieland, set the tone in game one down in Texas.
Well, you know, that begs the question, how's a Sam Brief keeping cool in 100-degree temperature down in Texas?
Oh, Sam Brief's always cool. No worries there.
I like it.
Seriously.
Well, Sam,
seriously,
pulled this out.
I'm always cold. I'm just serious. I mean, the press box in Cleburne has phenomenal air conditioning. I have one of the coldest internal temperatures you'll ever meet. I'm a very small person, which keeps me incredibly cold. So, no, I will never be complaining about heat. I will be probably much colder than you would predict.
Well, Sam, close us out on that. When the Chicago Dogs are hoisting the Miles Wolf Cup, what happened to make that occur?
I think the number one thing that happens is they pitch really well, because that's what it comes down to in the playoffs. When teams start games strong in the first three innings on the mound and they finish games strong in the final three innings on the mound, that's when you see them win playoff games and playoff series. So, frankly, the reason why the Dogs didn't win it all last year and the year before is those two things, right? You didn't get a good start on the mound, or you didn't get a good finish out of the back line of your bullpen. So if the Dogs do host the Miles Wolf Cup, it'll be because both of those boxes are checked, and, of course, the offense scored at least a run to get the job done. So that's why the Dogs can't get it done.
Well, thank you to the very cool Sam Brief for joining us here.
Nice, man.
Yeah, I'm going to go get my jacket and finish up packing for Texas tomorrow.